WNST, Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the new year. I will be giving away Ravens and Holiday Cash Drop Scratch-Offs. I have a handful left. I feel like Santa Claus. We're going to be at G&A Coney Island Hot Dog in White Marsh, no longer in Highland Town. I was going to say right on Eastern Avenue, right near Glava's. No. Andy went out to the county last year. We tried to put together a little crab cake tour back in the summer. It didn't work out. Things will be much calmer next Thursday. I'm calling it a hot dog and crab cake tour presented by our friends at Goodwill, as well as our friends at Window Nation, 866-90-NATION. I would wear the funny bucket hat, but Mike Rosenfeld would laugh at me, and I would get my feelings hurt on the internet. Happy New Year to you, man. How are things? How's our web traffic? My Google doctor wants to know.
Oh, it's all good. I think continuing to trend up, working hard. So keep up the good work.
Well, I'm trying. Been a weird start to the year, right? I mean, like we're into this in the middle of the week. And by the time we listen, we'll know what time the Ravens play and what the outcome of Bills and Bengals. But I mean, you and I get together, we talk sports, we talk tech, we talk business. You're a CEO. You're my chief digital officer here, making my website zing and sing and making it even better than it's ever been the last 4 months. And then we cover football and I'm locked out and blah, 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 blah. We had a flight to Cincinnati this week. But man, we watched that game on Monday night, and then this tragedy happens, right? And my CEO hat went on, my commissioner hat went on. The first 5 minutes, I'm like, "What are they going to do? Did they even have a fire drill game plan for something that could have been more tragic than it's been so far? Although pretty tragic, but we're never going to witness anything like what happened Monday night again. And the next time we do, they better have a better plan than they had. ESPN too."
Yeah, I mean, it's tough to plan, I would imagine, for every possible contingency, especially something that's never really happened before. I would say that, you know, I'm thinking about, I thought about a bunch of things. I thought about the Super Bowl that I'm sure both you and I were at in New Orleans when the power goes out, and having to fill time when, like, something unprecedented happened. And that's when true professionals rise up. And, you know, I was watching Adam Schefter and the team in the studio, and, you know, they were lost for words like most people, and, you know, trying to do their best to just talk through it. I think as time goes by, we'll start to hear what the NFL's knee-jerk reaction was. I'm starting to think I'm hearing that they wanted the show to go on. And if
here's the problem. The problem is there's people like Chad Steele involved in this that are given the spin to spin it. And then there are less people like Nestor Aparicio who have sources and resources and people on the field that would say, that's not what really happened. They're lying to you. They're right. Lying to you to make themselves look good, because that's what the National Football League does.
The question is, the notion
that they would have played football in 5 minutes, of course they want to play football in 5 minutes. They got media time. They put television on. The show must go on. Like, that's what they've always thought, but they've never had anybody almost die or die on the field, right? So they clearly hadn't thought about what to do in that circumstance, because
absolutely,
the commissioner, who makes $50 million a year and has for a decade, hadn't really thought that through, that it would take them a whole hour and they would need two coaches, real leaders of men, right, men with emotional empathy and emotional intelligence, base intelligence, right, to walk out and say, let's take a time out here. It's just a game.
Right. Well, look, it's conjecture, but the scene that I'm thinking about is in the tunnel with both coaches passing the cell phone around to the female executive of the NFL, whose name I don't know.
And Dawn that Ponte, would lead... but go ahead. Yes.
Okay. And
I know a lot about the league, even though I think I'm not a journalist.
Right. That would lead me to believe that they were asking for the temperature from both coaches of their appetite to continue, rather than telling them, this is what's going to be. You don't ask for input, or you don't put them on the phone if you've made a decision that this is what we're going to do. And you don't have to explain it to them. You explain it to the referee. You explain it to, what's her name? Dawn? Was that
Dawn Aponte. And by the way, I'm looking her up. You know what her real vocation in life is? Like, literally? She was the New York Jets accountant for 18 years. Her background, she went to Delaware, by the way. Go Blue Hens. She's an accountant by trade. She then managed the Jets salary cap, became their manager of football administration, then became the senior director of football administration, which I believe in the Ravens organization means she managed the scouts. You know, made their travel schedule, their budgets, probably all of that, right? She then became the vice president of labor and finance for the NFL in the aughts. She then became the vice president of football administration for the Browns, which is not a ringing endorsement. Jets, Browns, and Dolphins. She worked for the Dolphins as senior VP of football operations, executive vice football president of football administration from 12 to 16. She has been the chief administrator of football operations since 17. But she's an accountant by trade, just so we know what her background is. So, you know, touchy and feely and like all of that, probably, you know, these are numbers people. They're ops people. Put the show on, put the lights on, get to the end. That's what the NFL is. Have you seen how they treated me? All I ever did was love them and promote them.
Well, look, if you want, and I'm not suggesting we do, if you want to give the NFL the benefit of the doubt, the people on the phone were in New York. They weren't in the building. They didn't feel the hush, the vibe, all that stuff, to know that even considering continuing the game was not an option. That's if you're giving them the benefit of the doubt. If you're like most people, you're like, they're heartless. It's all about money. And the show had to go on. Despite the tragedy.
See, if I'm in with Goodell, I would say to him, did you see the effing ambulance?
Right.
Did you see the players? It's over, dude. It's 9:24 p.m. It's over. Send the people home. We're not playing football in an hour or half an hour. Send the people home. We'll come up with another option. You're going on television. It's 9:24. Be ready to go on at 9:40 to address the fans. Get them as much information as you can get over the next 16 minutes and front face your little camera in your $50 billion Greenwich Village, Greenwich house up in Connecticut, and put your cocoa and get your slippers that you had at the draft and front face like the president of the United States. You make $50 million a year more than Joe Biden does. So why front face the people on the network? You come on. Don't have Adam Schefter and Booger McFarlane. And I mean, they'll go to Van Pelt in an hour, but come on and make an address and just say, we've had a tragedy. This is obviously unprecedented. We're suspending everything right now. I will be back in an hour with Scott Van Pelt, and I'll be with Rich Eisen on NFL Network in an hour. We'll have more information. This is moment to moment. I'm the commissioner. I'm front facing on this. Not I'm on the cell phone with Dawn Aponte. I mean, why they didn't take that inside and lock a room with four executives, two owners, and let Adam Schefter dance for another 8 minutes? I mean, they'll be studying this for a long time. They'll be studying Lisa Salter's work and Ryan Clark's work and Scott Van Pelt for a long time.
Right.
It's a real damn rather moment, as they would say, right?
That's what I'm saying. The people rise up in the moment. Some choke and some rise up, and those who rise up become like their work, which is memorialized, becomes iconic. And I guess it become iconic too if you choke. I will tell you that I was texting with my two sons while this was going on, trying to predict what was going to happen and what the next steps are. And like many people, I played armchair commissioner about, you know, what I would do moving forward. I'm sure it's ridiculous, but the first thing I said is happening, which is the game isn't being played. And next week they're going to play the week 19 schedule. Then the question becomes, well, what happens after that? And is there a scenario, which I can't imagine that there is, that there's a combination of wins and losses that makes that game and seeding not relevant. So
well, it was a stakeholder for the bye, right? Like
right.
Buffalo, in order to earn the bye, needed to beat Cincinnati. Now we're on to the football field. I have not talked about this at all, by the way. I haven't really thought about it a lot. I guess in the aftermath on Tuesday, the league didn't want anybody to think about it, and they didn't want to be, I mean, the Ravens didn't even know what time they're playing, right? So there will be a plan at some point, but from a football aspect, it'd be one thing if the Chiefs were the one seed right now and all they had to do was win Saturday and boom, they're in and they make this easy. And whoever the two or the three is, they fight that out. They flip a coin, whatever they need to do. This wasn't that, right? Because of where Buffalo sat and where Cincinnati sits, the game has schedule relevance. Aside from life and death, schedule relevance. Yes.
Right. But I'm wondering, like, let's just say the Ravens somehow beat Cincinnati, Buffalo wins their next game. The outcome of that, the game between the two of them, may not have a difference in the seeding. So therefore, does it need to be played? Is the scenario. If it does need to be played, I can foresee a scenario where instead of having the 2-week break between the last playoff game and the Super Bowl, and there was a couple of years there where they canceled that 2 weeks and it was just a 1 week break, that they just push everything back.
He did that at the Atlanta Super Bowl, was done that way. It was a 1 week back 22 years ago. They hated it. They didn't like it.
Yeah, sure. These aren't perfect scenarios, but one scenario is if that game matters, you play it after week 19. That's the only game that's played. Then you push back the playoffs. And you cut the week to 2 weeks between the Super Bowl and the last playoffs to 1 week. So you keep the Super Bowl where it's currently scheduled, because I know they're not going to move that. But that was my prediction. But who am I? I'm just a chief digital officer. What do I know?
Well, we are fans and we do love the game and we love the game. And then one of these tragedies happens. And, you know, I've told the story here all week about being on the air when Dale Earnhardt went into the wall. I was on a nationally syndicated show at that time. I mean, I remember seeing John Ogden carted off in Atlanta many years ago. Ray Lewis was medevaced out back in the 90s. A lot of people don't realize he took a really nasty hit of a guy named Kenyon Cotton on the practice field, got a stinger. You know, that was breaking news before there was an internet, all of that. The violence of the game and the reality of the game. And then we try to sit here and talk about them losing to the Steelers, which feels like it was about a month ago now, right? Like literally on the back end of this DeMar Hamlin situation, to sit here and talk about, will Lamar play or Lamar's money, or, you know, is he getting a contract, or have we seen the end of Lamar? It feels like you couldn't talk about that for a day or two for sure.
Right.
We have to. They're going to play football Sunday. They're going to play football Saturday.
Or be branded insensitive. For them to can't, I don't, is, I mean, is this the, other than, I mean, lightning strikes and weather and pushing a game back because of natural disaster or hurricane. But this
Do you remember when they had the fires and they had to move the game? The Chargers had to play in Arizona because San Diego was under smoke. You remember that?
Right. Well, yeah. Or just, I mean, Buffalo.
We had a president that said if you rake the leaves, that wouldn't happen. I just wanted to point that out. I just want to point that out, just to give you a little smile this morning. It's your New Year's comedy.
I feel it, but yeah, this is just unusual stuff. And I did find myself taking a moment to think about this young, he's 1 year younger than my youngest son. Puts it in perspective, the family rushing onto the field and just having to see this. And, you know, my kids played lacrosse, and I always remembered, this is one of the things, because I did not, to be honest with you, I had walked away and did not see the hit and him fall to the ground. And
They didn't show it again. I didn't watch it again. I haven't gone to the internet. I have not seen the play, just so you know.
Right. And I haven't, but I saw the still shot. And my kids played lacrosse, and there was always like once every couple of years where, whether it was a goalie or someone was hit by a ball in the exact spot, like on the heart.
Right.
And it wasn't the velocity of the hit, and it wasn't the location as much as it was, it just interrupted
the trajectory, right?
The electrical system of the heart. And that seems to me like, you know, remember Hank Gathers?
Sure. Oh, yeah. I brought that up earlier this week too.
That
Yeah.
was horrible, right? But he had a heart attack in, you know, it wasn't a result of a collision that must have just interrupted. I don't think this guy had a heart attack.
We
I'm
had
not
an
a
umpire,
doctor.
John McSherry, in the 80s that had a heart attack right before a game as well.
Right. I think it was more of a the right angle, the right shot during the right electrical impulse of the heart, which is the same thing that happens with the people who get hit with that lacrosse ball. And he just, I mean, that's what happened. The fact that he's still alive is a surprise, a pleasant surprise to me, because I thought these are one of those things that either they were going to withhold it from the team, or within hours you would have
Right.
heard that he passed. So the fact that we're now into day three, it seems to be very promising, and hopeful.
Yeah, and it was such a big game, right? It wasn't like a game that was just a Monday night game you might have been watching. Like, everybody was looking forward to it. It was such energy around the game. I mean, the fact that it was an appointment kind of game as well. I think for all of us, everyone sort of saw it and will have a memory of that night in a way that makes us all, appreciate what these guys do to get their money and Lamar Jackson and injuries and getting on the field and how hard it is to be healthy in the game itself. And then it comes back to the Ravens trying to be a playoff team here. They're going to be in the playoffs next week. I don't know what that means. I've never felt less energy around the playoff team. And then there's the whole drama with Lamar Jackson on the field, off the field, contract, is he healthy? They thought he'd be back 2 weeks ago. It doesn't have good feels from the Ravens fan perspective.
No, and I'm one of them. I mean, look, I don't hate anyone. The Bengals are in our division, and I think I'm a half full guy, but I feel like the Bengals are at a different level than we are, if I'm being honest. I also think that their owner is going to blow it. With salary cap numbers, and you can't keep everyone, and so the Bengals are on the run. And they're going to start losing really good players, like every good team does. And I don't know that they're going to be able to sustain what they have now. But there's a different feel. I mean, look, I was saying we were in a position with a backup quarterback to potentially be 11-5. Tell me the last time you had an 11-5 team that you felt going into a playoff that you really didn't have much of a chance. At least that's how I feel
Well, if
about
they don't have
this
a
team.
healthy Lamar, they have no chance. And then the question is
Right.
he healthy? And does he believe he has a chance? Because there's plenty of people that don't like the talent around Lamar and are ready to say,
Right.
no matter what the outcome in 2 weeks when they don't win, 3 weeks, whenever it is, when they don't win, you'll look at them and say, well, they weren't well comprised. I mean, they didn't have skill
No.
position players, their running backs were hurt, their quarterback got hurt. Their quarterback's not as good as Joe Burrow, or and you know why he's not as good? He can't get on the field in December. I mean,
Right.
and then they would say, well, he was good enough to be 8-3 last year and 8-4 this year with all of these guys. So, like, there is something to the fact that they were good enough with him. This is why you want to give him $250 million. The negotiation and the offseason dance with Lamar Jackson is going to be something everybody in this sport is watching. And how this turns out the next couple of weeks for the Ravens, and most of us don't think it's going to end with a parade, that it's going to end with a hurt feelings on a Saturday night or a Sunday, sometime very soon, that if it ends that way, Lamar will say, I didn't have the players, and that they would say, well, Lamar wasn't healthy, and the players, we had the
Right.
players, we drafted Bateman, we had these, they got hurt. So I think there's built-in excuses for everybody but Greg Roman.
He's a polarizing figure here, that's for sure. I was thinking when we got Lamar and he ran the ball the way he did, there was a lot of discussion about most quarterbacks get injured in the pocket, not running the ball. And if I'm not r incorrect, I know this year he was sacked, or he was behind the line of scrimmage when he left the field. And I think the same thing happened last year. So the hypothesis that you know, the running quarterback, like he was going to run 20 yards and that's when he was going to get hurt. Didn't happen in either of these 2 years. But
well, he's amazingly elusive, right? I mean, we've seen Tyler Huntley take more kill shots in 2 weeks than we've seen Lamar take in 5 years. It's uncanny, isn't it?
Yeah. And you're right. I mean, if you look at it, try to look at it objectively, he's a generational talent. He plays the game differently than anyone ever has. There's little bits of him in other past players. But you cannot put your team in a position 2 years in a row where you're five wins above 500 and then he's hurt and then you rattle off losses and then you limp into the playoffs. And that's just frustrating. And I mean, I know he bulked up this year in hopes of potentially not getting injured and all that, but it's a business decision. And when he has, as his own agent, his eyes on a contract of Deshaun Watson given to him by a dysfunctional franchise who can't get its own out of its own way, I can't blame a management and an ownership team who's like, I can't do that. I can't sink to the level. I can't do what the Browns have tried to do to the rest of the league by following their footsteps. It's just a tough situation. You know, my sons and I have talked about, as much as we love him, do we trade him for multiple number one picks, you know, and revamp the offense in a more 2023, not RPO type offense, because that's where what everyone else is doing, and try to get. And I said, you know, the two Super Bowls we had game manager quarterbacks and we had really strong defenses. So these are the debates that I know everyone's having at every local bar in Baltimore.
At the end of the bar. Mike Rosenfeld's at the end of the bar. He's at the end of my bar here as our chief digital officer at WNST and BaltimorePositive.com. You can find him at a web connection as an outsourced chief digital officer. I've gone through Don Aponte's background as well as Roger Goodell's. Mike, what is web connection and how does it help people? What the heck is an outsourced chief digital officer in 2023?
Oh, sure. I'm glad you asked because most people have no idea. I guess the best way to do it is to just do a case study. If you're a owner of a business, you see your competitors killing it online, whether it's on social media, whether it's where they come up in Google, their website's killer. They seem to have all their house in order and you want to compete, but you can't justify hiring a full-time visionary and leader. That's what we do. So we basically work with small to mid-sized businesses who want to compete at a high level online, but don't have internally the leadership. They may have a well-intentioned VP of marketing, but it's unfair to ask a VP of marketing to understand all of the intricacies that are associated with digital strategies and digital marketing. So we come in, we learn the business, we create a plan and we execute against the plan, but we do it on a fractional basis that's affordable for most small to mid-sized businesses.
Small to mid-sized local businesses, just like mine. Mike, yeah. I appreciate you coming on as always, talking some football here. I know you had some tech stuff in the AI space, and I just want you to give a little snapshot because next time we get together, it'll be a couple weeks from now. Ravens may still be involved. We'll talk some Ravens, but going into the new year, first off, you know, I got thrown off Twitter a couple weeks ago since this maniac took over Twitter. Who knows? You know, like I'm a journalist. Okay, fair enough. I'll live with that. And I started Otter out on our website. We use this conversation will be transcribed and available. I'd like to even ramp that up and find something more newfangled, but I am blown away by the technology of all of this, starting with Zoom 3 years ago, this crazy device years ago. I'm trying to understand the metaverse and what that entails, but even like web nerd from birth guy like you, total webo nerd. You've been a web nerd as long as I've known you, 30 years like that, that even you are blown away by the ish that sometimes comes to your desk, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's some of it. And we've talked about this. You in the beginning, you're like, this is the coolest thing ever. And this is going to positively change the world. And then
like, I thought the CD.
Yeah. And then you find out that, you know, that people are manipulating the technology for bad purposes. And I know that what we're about to talk about is one of those things. But it's what I'm looking at right now is OpenAI. It is artificial intelligence bot app that allows you to put in commands and it will give you output. And the example that I heard initially is write a 2,000 word essay form in that a 11th grader may write about Little Women. Enter. And as soon as you put enter, you start.
You got a term paper.
A term paper, right? And then you can.
I just resist when it. I was at UV.
Right, for sure, right? So in preparation for today, but we'll do this another time. I just put in there because I thought it'd be relevant. Just randomly popped up. Compare and contrast Barry Bonds and Babe Ruth in 1,000 words. And you hit enter, and literally after you see hit enter, you see it writing, and it takes maybe 10 seconds to finish. And then you got this item. So it can be used for blogs. You know, one of the biggest problems my clients have is coming up with content. So you can actually ask.
I have that problem too. I'm terrible with content. Can you help me?
It's tough. And I'm in the business and I'm like the cobbler's kids. I mean, I take care of all my clients, but I don't write content for my own company as often as I should. Now, of course, it's not your own stuff, but you can do that. And then what I did is and we'll do this the next time. And we'll, for those people who actually view this on your YouTube channel, I'll share my screen. But what after I did the Barry Bonds contrast or comparison with Babe Ruth, I then added to the end of it in the form of a nursery rhyme. And I hit enter. And then all of a sudden, it did, you know,
Babe Hickory Ruth, Dickory Dock.
Yeah,
Bonds exactly. And Ruth. Yeah, like, yeah. Okay, I got you. I like
you
it.
You know, so it's just crazy. You know,
you like that because you listen to Andrew Dice Clay. You got that. That's fine. Some people got that.
I was wondering where you were going to stop. Yeah, that's right. You know, Mark Cuban, some people much smarter than me are talking about this and how scary they're using the word scary. So, you know, you have to put it as cool as it sounds. You have to think about, okay, no offense to everyone from Russia, but Russian people in Russia using this tool to create misinformation and how they're going to leverage this, tie it into social media. It's going to happen, you know, for every good thing that these things are well-intended, there's people who use it for bad.
Back in 2016, the stuff I was seeing shared on my social media threads that was obviously written by Eastern Europeans in its cadence, in its word, in its terminology, that were on these conservative patriot flying a flag that was getting shared throughout my family. Like it was gross.
And so obviously
a scam that people
paste, copying and pasting. Let's just do it the reverse. If we wanted to mess with Russia, a perfect English, exactly what you wanted to say. And then you tell this chatbot to convert it to Russian in the form of casual speaking. Okay. And it will take what you've done and it'll convert it in a way that doesn't sound like jumbled, like you just talked about, because the bot has been programmed over time and time again, what conversational Russian is like, and it doesn't give you that choppiness. So just scary, scary stuff. Of course, I'm using it for nursery rhymes of Babe Ruth and whatchamacallit, because that's how my brain works. But we'll keep an eye on it. So we'll talk about that next time. I'm just rolling up my sleeves, starting to mess with it. And we'll talk about real life examples of how this can be used for good, because that's how I'm skewed.
Tell me how it can help Baltimore positive. That's all. Just tell me what it means for me.
I hear you, man. I hear you. You got
Mike
it.
Rosenfeld is here. He will tell you what it means for you, Web Connection. You can find him out. He's an outsourced chief digital officer. I'm going to have some friends and sponsors and people of high influence in my world join me for the new year. Next Thursday, we're going to be at G&A Coney Island Hot Dog. I'll have some holiday cash drops, have a handful, and I do mean a handful of Ravens scratch-offs left. We're going to be there from 1 to 4 next Thursday. I'll make sure I get the date right on that because I haven't read the ad right. Thursday the 12th of – that would be a pre-playoff weekend. So on Thursday from 1 to 4, we'll be at G&A Coney Island Hot Dog at White Marsh with my buddy Andy. It's all brought to you by our friends at Window Nation as well as the Maryland Lottery and Goodwill. I am Nestor. If you need Mike, you can find him out at Web Connection. You can find him out at the front of BaltimorePositive.com as well, where I bring everyone together under the umbrella of these wise conversations. It is a football week. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking Baltimore positive.